On today's episode of Warriors Off-Court, I'm joined by Andy Thompson, the cameraman who filmed all that behind-the-scenes footage you see in the Last Dance documentary, and the uncle to Klay Thompson. Andy detailed what it was like being in the Bulls locker, how frustrating it was to wait 22 years to see his work come to fruition, and, of course, his views on where those Chicago teams rank among the greatest modern NBA dynasties.
Andy, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm one of the millions of viewers in the United States that's been locked in on this Last Dance documentary. It's been incredible. You know, I grew up in the 90s coming of age during those years, and just to go down memory lane has been an unbelievable opportunity. I'm curious, you know, what this experience has been like for you as someone who was in the locker room and documenting all this, and then to wait, you know, 20 or so years for this to all come out. What has this entire experience been like just the past couple of weeks, seeing the type of response this has gotten?
It's been overwhelming, to tell you the truth. Nobody ever thought it would be this big of a reception from an American audience, and just how unbelievable the response has been. I mean, we knew when we shot it and the way Michael Jordan ended that 98 season with that steal and that shot that we had the holy grail of all sports documentaries in the can. But no one could predict that it would take 20 years and, you know, multiple interviews and just multiple cuts that it ended up being what it is, because initially we thought we were going to get this out within 2 or 3 years. And if we had done that, it would have probably been a traditional doc, which was, you know, normally at that time, 90 minutes to 2 hours. But to see what Mike Tolan and Jason here were able to do, to take what we shot 20 years ago, use it as a narrative, to go back and tell all these great stories of all of these guys and pretty much give them their due over 10 episodes is just unbelievable. So I am so thankful that we didn't get our way back, you know, in 2000 or, you know, 1998, that it got even better, because the passage of time has made everybody a little bit more nostalgic and be more truthful and be more reflective, and it's the right documentary at the right time.
At the time, how frustrating was that, though, to have put in all this work, to be shadowing this team every day, and then just have it put on hold indefinitely like that?
Oh, for sure. It's definitely frustrating because, once again, everybody with a pair of eyes and ears can see what we got. So everybody, not only me, that took part in this, from the executive producers and my cameraman and Salman, the guys who sweated and were in the field with this team, even the players, whenever they saw me year after year, when is this getting made? When is this coming out? And it was frustrating when we couldn't give them a real answer. So it's finally here. So here we go.
So I'm just kind of curious, where were you kind of at in your life, you know, during that 97-98 season? And what made you, you know, want to do this? And kind of tell us a little bit about just the backstory on your personal level.
Well, I really started loving documentaries in 92 after I was chosen by NBA Entertainment. I was a producer at that time, a young producer, to document the whole Dream Team process. So for 7 weeks, I was embedded with the Dream Team and on buses and airplanes and practices and all over the place. And we started shooting like documentary style, which was so different from what the NBA were used to shooting at back in those days. And so I really saw how much we were capturing and just how different it was. To see the players in situations that you would normally not see them in real life, you know, whether it be in a hotel suite or in the back of a bus. And so I really loved the way we were shooting it. I loved the whole process of shooting it. And once the Dream Team ended, I started watching more documentaries, and I really became fascinated and just loved the whole storytelling aspect of documentaries. But there wasn't any opportunity at that time in the NBA to do this type of shooting. But as the Bulls began to rise in popularity and Michael Jordan's status and stardom just took off to another level, it became clear, like, if we're going to use this type of embedding with a team, this is the perfect team and this is the perfect player to do it with. And it was just the right time when Adam Silver became president of NBA Entertainment in the summer of 97. The Bulls were threatening to be broken up, and I convinced Adam, hey, if the Bulls come back one more year, we've got to put a team, you got to allow me to have a camera crew embedded with the team and just follow them for the entire year and capture Michael's last year and the Bulls' last year, because this is the greatest team in player in history, and we have to do this. And he thought it was a great idea, and thank God Adam loved the idea and greenlit it.
When you're embedded with a team like that, I'm sure, you know, as someone myself who is a beat writer and in the locker room, I can understand what the kind of balancing act that goes into that, right, where you want to have the trust of the players, but you also, you know, you don't want to go too far or make them uncomfortable, but you also want to do the story justice. What was that process like for you, and how did you handle that kind of balancing act?
Well, it's like walking on eggshells, right? Because this is unprecedented. This is unprecedented on many levels, because you're spending days and weeks with a team everywhere, and they really didn't know us personally, and we didn't know them personally. The only person that I had a pretty decent relationship with was Michael. I had a professional relationship with Scotty on a professional level, but I really wasn't a friend to Scotty. And so you're just trying to not, you know, make any false steps, you know, to have the cameraman in the wrong place at the wrong time, or have the boom microphone interfere with a team meeting or a practice setting. And so you're just constantly just worried about not doing something that gets you kicked out of a practice or gets you kicked out of a team meeting. So it was a lot of nerve-wracking days of trying to feel them out and them trying to feel us out, until finally, you know, it just has to happen organically. And then as they get to know you and you get to know their idiosyncrasies, then you get to a place where they start feeling comfortable. But until that, it was very nerve-wracking.
Watching episodes 3 and 4, one of the things that amazed me was that you had access to Dennis Rodman in Las Vegas, that you were actually a fly on the wall during, you know, those escapades, or at least for part of them. What was that experience like, you know, just following around Dennis in his element away from the court?
It was interesting, you know. You can only imagine that you've got to be a fly on the wall, because you're in clubs and you're in bars and restaurants, and any restaurant's not going to let you spend hours in there, so you have to go in and at the right time and get your shots and then know when to back out. So that was always a challenge of, do we follow on this particular trip, or do we not? Do we ask? Do we just follow? So it was, once again, it was interesting trying to keep up with Dennis, but, you know, we were at the right places at the right time. I'm glad we were.
Yeah, and you obviously knew even in that moment that Vegas trip was important in the narrative of the story arc of that season, just given how unique of a situation that was.
Listen, man, when you're doing a documentary, a lot of things you don't even worry about. How is this going to fit in? You're just, once again, I'm trying not to get thrown out of a restaurant or a club or a bar. So you're not thinking big term. You're just like, let me just capture something so that this trip is worthwhile, or this particular shoot is worthwhile. So you're not thinking long term. You just get your shots and get out.
We'll have more of my conversation with Andy Thompson right after the break.
Were there any moments during that season where you just said to yourself, wow, I can't believe that I'm documenting this, you know? And I'm specifically asking about kind of behind-the-scenes type stuff. We all know the craziness that happened on the court, but were there any moments that really stuck out to you behind the scenes?
Well, there's a whole bunch, obviously. There's, you know, there's that moment just in practice where I always talk about when Michael is instructing Scottie Pippen and Ron Harper. And Scottie Pippen's an all-star, but Michael is basically holding camp, like he's trying to teach these guys the most efficient way to get to the basket. And we're on our cameras are right there on top of it, and it's just amazing to see just how this technician that Michael is you know, giving a lesson to Scotty and Ron Harper, who were all stars in their own rights, and or just listening to Phil and, you know, basically address the team in certain situations, and our cameras are rolling, and you're like, man, this is pretty sacred ground, and that we're capturing this moment. So yeah, there's moments like that that really stand out.
Just being around the team every day, I'm sure you got a really good pulse on just the locker room dynamics, you know, what roles guys fit in that locker room. What did you see Steve's role, you know, off the court in the locker room at that time?
I always say Steve was probably one of the most grounded people that I've ever met, not only on the Bulls, but just in the NBA. Steve understood his position in society. Like, you know, he's a regular guy. And on the team, that he was a part of a team. He wasn't the alpha male. He's not the lead dog. But he was a perfect complementary teammate who knew his role and was just happy to do it. And him being such a regular guy and understanding his place in history, I think he also understood why our crew was there, that we were capturing a moment in history. And he went out of his way to just be accommodating. And every time I needed a default answer, if other players were kind of hard to get certain days, I could always count on going up to Steve, and he'd be happy to give me a sound bite or a little bit of a nugget that would help sum up what I was looking for.
After episode 4 came out last Sunday, Clay posted a video talking about when he got the autograph from Michael that season. Do you remember that night when your brother Michael brought his sons to the locker room and they got those autographs?
I sure was. I was the person who actually shot that. I had my 16-millimeter camera, which was a little Bolex camera. And I remember my brother was waiting for Michael to come out, and Michael always takes a long time to come out. And I definitely wanted to capture that on film, and I remember shooting it. But here's the thing. I remember shooting it, and then, of course, 20 years go by, and they're making the film. And then one of our archivists says, hey, do you remember this shot? And I was like, oh, man, I forgot that I even shot it. So
yeah.
I had forgotten I even shot it. And so it was really a surprise when I saw it again after 20 years. And then, of course, when Clay and Michael saw it, then it just, wow, they freaked them out.
Have there been a lot of those types of moments, you know, where you shot hundreds of hours of film? I'm sure you don't remember every detail of every moment you shot, but watching the documentary where you're like, oh, yeah, I was there. I remember that now. Like, it's all kind of coming back to you.
Yeah, for sure. Certain shots that I, especially on my camera that I pick up, like my main cameraman, Michael Winnick, he is focused on the main guys, like Jordan and Pippen and Phil. And so he's been trained, like if you even think something's going on, you got to pay attention to those guys first. With my camera, I pick up the auxiliary stuff. I pick up the Scotty Burrells. I pick up the fans who are leaning over to try to get the autograph or, you know, the other angle. So I remember everything the main cameras get because it's the main camera. But when I shoot stuff, some of that stuff just gets lost in the weeds because it's just so many little clips. They're not really long clips. I have to shoot in short bursts. And so a lot of my things that I shoot have only been 20 seconds, 30 seconds long because the camera, you have to wind it up, it rolls out. So a lot of that stuff gets lost in the process. So every now and then when I see one of my shots, I was like, man, I can't believe I shot that. I'm glad I had the camera pointed at Jerry Krause at this particular time. So, yeah, that's it's surprising at times.
So when people have that debate of what's the best modern NBA dynasty, everyone talks about the Showtime Lakers, the Jordan Bulls, and then people are starting to talk about these Warriors. You probably have a better vantage point for that discussion than anyone because your brother Michael was on the Showtime Lakers, your nephew Clay was on the Warriors, and then you were behind the scenes with those Bulls and embedded with those Bulls. Where do you stand in that argument?
I always say that in terms of popularity, the Jordan Bulls are in another stratosphere. they are the fandom around them was just crazy. I mean, they packed 62,000 people in the Georgia Dome to watch Michael's last game. There'll be 2,000 people lined up outside of the hotel just to watch the guys walk from the hotel to the bus. That never happened with the Lakers, because I was there with my brother from time to time on road trips with him. That same thing with the Warriors. I've been on 5 years following the Warriors, and there's nothing close to that. So in terms of fans and just the crazy Beatlemania around the Bulls, nothing compares. When it comes to the franchises and what they've done in the dynasties, the Lakers and the Bulls are neck and neck, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick, because each one has iconic, incredibly gifted players, probably, you know, what do they call it, the Mount Rushmore, a couple of players on that.
Yeah.
Depends on if you like purple or if you like red.
Yeah, for sure. When you've gotten to do so many cool things in your career, you know, the past several decades, is this emerging as one of the most rewarding experiences in your career, working on The Last Dance, just because of the type of attention it's gotten and the fact that it took so long to come to light? How's this rank for you personally?
Yeah, I always tell people, even before this documentary came out, that working on that last championship and documenting that last season was one of the top two things that I've ever done in my career, because of just the historical importance of capturing Michael in his last championship and the Bulls and all their glory, and right before they were broken up. You can't ask for a better assignment than that. And to document one of the greatest players and one of the greatest franchises in the world, and for it to end the way it did. If they had lost, it would have still been a great experience, but the fact that they won, and won in such dramatic fashion, man, that in itself is storybook.
What was the other one that ranked up there? Was that the Dream Team?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The Dream Team, man. The greatest team in the history of mankind, and be able to see that come together from day to day and then be in Barcelona when they won, man, that might be number one. I go back and forth all the time. I don't know which is one or two.
And that ended up being helpful too, right? Because that was when you developed a relationship with Michael, right? And
yeah.
That had to help your process with filming that last Bulls team.
Yeah.
Awesome, Andy. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. It means a lot. I've got to see you around all the time, but I don't think we've ever actually formally got to meet. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I can't wait for Sunday. I you know, these are the highlights of my week now, you know. Let's just get through the quarantine. Let's watch Last Dance on Sunday.
I agree, man. Nice talking to you.
Our thanks to Andy Thompson for joining me on the podcast. It was great hearing from someone who is a driving force behind the most popular sports documentary in years, maybe ever.
Warriors Off Court is a production of the San Francisco Chronicle. Support Warriors Off Court and the newsroom that creates it by signing up for a Chronicle membership at sfchronicle.com/pod.